The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/Stu.
I don't know why everybody is so concerned or suspicious or skeptical, as free speech platforms are just popping up all over the place. What a coincidence. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, April 26, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, extremely important news happened yesterday in the world of social media. You may have heard Elon Musk is buying Twitter. The company's board of directors announced on Monday afternoon that it's accepting Musk's $44 billion deal to buy out the company's shares and take it private. So, tentatively, allegedly, on the surface, supposedly, this is good news. Musk says that his version of Twitter will be a free speech platform. He says that he'll make the company's algorithms open source so that everybody can understand exactly how the company works. For example, how it spots bots, how it decides what to show users and what to mark as trending. But of course, with great news like this, when you look just a little bit closer, all of a sudden there's a bunch of red flags too. Musk says that he'll defeat the spam bots and authenticate all humans. So I have to ask, does that mean that he'll be banning all anonymous accounts? That wouldn't be an improvement, obviously. Real freedom of speech oftentimes requires anonymity. The Federalist Papers were published anonymously. So was Common Sense, Thomas Paine's essay encouraging the colonists to revolt against England. Real freedom of speech requires the freedom to speak anonymously if necessary. That's exactly why many on the left openly talk about getting rid of online anonymity. That's why there are entire Antifa armies whose full-time obsession is finding ways to dox people. It's also, to be honest with you, not entirely clear that Elon Musk really knows what the hell he's talking about on free speech. The other day he tweeted that, quote, "A social media platform's policies are good if the most extreme 10% on the left and right are equally unhappy," unquote. But of course, that's complete utter BS. The right has nothing to fear for just having total freedom of speech because we have the advantage of valuing the truth. We enjoy when our opponents are able to speak publicly so we can expose exactly what it is that they're saying. The most extreme 10% on the left is opposite. They're obsessed with calling everyone a Nazi who deviates even slightly from their latest ideological fads. And they have to, because they can only keep people from breaking ranks by terrorizing them. Come on, they believe, or at least say out loud that they believe, that police cause crime, that enforcing the law is racist, and that a woman can become a man by mutilating her genitals and cutting off her breasts. They're insane. They believe things entirely opposed to the reality that we can all plainly see right in front of our faces. An ideology that insane can't survive under real freedom of speech. It needs tyranny and terror to stick around. That's why Twitter needed to ban the Babylon Bee for calling Rachel Levine the man of the year. It wasn't because it was hate speech. It was because it was so obviously true. It made all the posturing of the left just completely ridiculous. If Elon Musk is really serious about freedom of speech, then this should be the rule on Twitter. Everything that's allowed by the United States First Amendment is allowed on Twitter, period. No rules about hate speech, no taking down accounts for misinformation. Everybody calls Twitter the global public square, so act like it. If Musk can do that, then maybe there's some hope for Twitter. Maybe you'll even see us back on it. But for now, we're in the prove it phase. Elon Musk is just like a Republican politician who's just won an election. He's full of big promises, let's face it. Now we'll see if he can deliver on any of them. Deanna Lorraine joins us for more discussion of yesterday's big news. So, I mean, I'm a skeptic because Elon Musk is known for wanting to turn everyone into human 2.0. You and I would be computers if he could have it his way. So does he really believe in the free speech of human beings?
Right. That's the funny thing. I mean, this is the founder of Neuralink, which wants to join the brain and the body with the machine, with computers. So how much do we really believe in his big promises? And obviously, you know, Elon Musk has gained a reputation of sort of an elitist gone rogue, right? Someone that we can relate to, someone who's become sort of like a Trump, like a patriot, and someone who's a big believer in free speech. He's one of the richest men in the whole world. So he's got to be an elitist. He is an elitist, but he's kind of gone rogue. And we've seen him as a fighter for us. But I get a little bit worried, and I'm not getting too excited, Stu. And it's crazy because there's been a lot of people that have gone rogue like this who have made big lofty promises and then they just don't deliver. So no, I'm not getting too excited. It almost feels too good to be true. And typically when things are too good to be true, they end up being too good to be true, and something happens and they end up limiting our free speech. So we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, it's something that can be exciting. And I was pretty excited yesterday when I saw that this happened, that he acquired Twitter. I didn't think it would happen. And then it did. And it all kind of happened at a lightning speed. $44 billion is nothing to squawk about. But let's start with, are we going to get our Twitters back? Am I going to get my 400,000 plus followers back? Are you going to get your Twitter back? Is President Trump going to get his Twitter back? Is he really serious about free speech? Or is he going to say that and then create little limits, like what is considered hate speech? And who can say something about the vaccine or transgenders or this or that? Only time will tell.
Yeah. You mentioned Neuralink. And so the timing of this is all really coincidental. Being that we have, you know, the great lockdown, the great reset, the new world order being ushered in, Klaus right. Schwab's World Economic Forum agenda to make everybody linked up to this and that, your QR code so you can open your smart refrigerator, access government-approved, state-run information only on the paperweight, the useless piece of crap hanging on your wall that you have to subscribe to anything in order for it to work or bring you content. And so our Twitter new algorithms, which he says that he's going to disclose, going to be able to predict you in ways that we could never even imagine and actually start controlling your life. I mean, Zuckerberg has talked about this. I don't think that Elon Musk is any stranger to Zuckerberg's wishes.
Right. That's the other concern, is what's going to happen even more egregious and even more nefarious than what we've already been accustomed to with Twitter and Facebook and social media. I just don't see the deep state elitists letting that control and power go. I don't see it really happening. If anything, I feel like this could be controlled opposition where, you know, it's going to be a charade of free speech and freedom, but the reins are going to get controlled even tighter. And potentially, like what you said, there's going to be a more nefarious platform for controlling us or from monitoring us. And maybe something like we can speak into social media and it's going to record all of our thoughts, something like that. But yeah, this is the founder of Neuralink. This is somebody who knows how all of this stuff works. And again, he is one of the elite. So how much can we really trust him? I love a lot of things that Elon has been saying lately. I'm like, yeah, you know, I love it. He's become more of a patriot, shown himself to be more of a rogue, not an elitist, fighting for us, but time will tell if he can deliver on those promises. And we've been let down so many times and we've had the wool pulled over our eyes. No more. I just don't know if we can get too excited still. Not yet.
You know, you see everybody who's excited about this and everybody that's talking about it, which is another thing that bolsters my skepticism surrounding all of this as well. The cheerleaders for this are the people who have been the enemies of free speech all along. So why are they suddenly cheering on Elon Musk, who's vowing free speech? Do they know something that we don't know? You lost your Twitter account. You lost your Twitter account for speaking truth. I lost my Twitter account for displaying, you know, graphene oxide in the shots and, you know, talking about how these injections were not vaccines and that they were indeed killing people at alarming rates. This is truthful information. I mean, these are facts. And so whether these people choose to like it or not doesn't make it any less factual. So we have this whole sense of subjective feelings happening over on Twitter, which is why it's a desolate breeding ground for satanic, demonic sycophants over there right now. I mean, those are the only people that are left on Twitter, along with the bots that Musk is talking about getting rid of. Meanwhile, we have Telegram, and then we have a real free speech platform in Gab. Gab is owned by Andrew Torba. Torba is a United States citizen. The country is here, based in the United States. He's got GabPay. He's got the marketplace. He says truly, absolutely 100% free speech. They've offered to buy him out. He knows exactly how these Silicon executives and elites work. And you're right, Musk is one of these elites. So are people that have been banned, like you and myself, who's been banned, even interested in going back? At this point, it's the prove it stage. Lauren Witzke, the executive producer for this show, tried to get hers back, and her appeal was denied last night. So already Twitter is displaying, no, we don't really mean this. And yes, we still deem you to be a threat to the agenda that we're trying to move forward in rapid speed.
Right, exactly. And I think time is going to tell, and we're going to see his true intentions here. But, you know, to echo what you're saying, it does seem a little all too convenient and coincidental that he's been a big player in the last 2 years. And it just seems so many people that we have put our trust in that seem like, okay, maybe this is someone who's really fighting for us. They turn out to be controlled opposition. And we know what the New World Order's agenda is. We know what the World Economic Forum and the elitist agenda is. And most often, they're pushing us towards, well, not most often, absolutely, more control, less freedom. That's why I'm also not too excited about the masks off and the lockdowns releasing. I think it might just be a little tease to clamp it down even further in the wintertime. We know that they're trying to monitor us more, not less. And so this could just be, again, another instance of pulling the wool over our eyes. And every time us conservative freedom lovers get really excited about something, boom, you know, the noose just gets tightened more.
Everybody calls Twitter the global public square, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting timing as well that this is all ramping up right before midterm elections, where you're going to invite a bunch of people back to start opening up conversation. And then, bang, you can pull the rug right out from underneath them. Or is it going to target these people with these bots that we see in Telegram now, who repeat the same messages over and over using different profile pictures and the same name, or the same name and different profile pictures, and so on and so forth? I mean, we know that this is a breeding ground for that. And AI is not anything new to Elon Musk either.
No. And we know that they don't let go of power. You really think Jack Dorsey and the elitist and the Democrats, like, they're going to just let all this power go? I mean, Twitter has become their number one power tool, you know, cutting off the heads of President Trump and any of his followers, or anything we say about the vaccine, et cetera. They love it. They're drunk on power. I don't see them just giving this up freely.
You know, you bring up Jack Dorsey. What about this? I mean, what about the personal relationship or the friendship between Elon Musk and Jack Dorsey? Is there something going on there? Is this Elon Musk trying to save Jack Dorsey's neck from the trouble that he could potentially be in for everything that he's done criminally and illegally and unlawfully and in violation of the Constitution over at Twitter? He lied before a congressional inquiry panel. You know, I mean, he's been caught lying so many times, censoring free speech and Section 230, using that as an excuse to protect him. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as well and see the goings on with whatever happens with Jack Dorsey. So Deanna Lorraine, you have been gone for a while.
Yeah.
Your new show launched on Roar Nation, the Stu Peters Network, which people can find on Rumble over stupeters.com as well. Are you ready to tell everybody why you were gone? Everybody's been asking. So I'll just let you tell everybody why you were gone.
I didn't know people missed me so much. I miss you guys too.
They did. They definitely miss you. Absolutely. I hear about it every single day in my email box.
Oh my God. I love it. Yes. I was gone for a little bit and my man and I had a baby. Yay. His name is a little boy, Maverick. Maverick was born in late February. He came a little bit early. So that's why the sudden kind of, I got to go real quick. And I'll share a lot more about it in detail on my show, Shots Fired, that premieres this week or re-premieres this week. I'll talk about the kind of rabbit holes of early labor and things like that, that I think are another agenda while we're on the topic. But I'm a proud mother now. I'm super excited. And you'll be hearing a lot more about that.
Yeah, because I have a lot of questions. You know, what kind of medical treatment did you get on your way up to this? Were you being pressured to get vaccinated and vaccinate the baby in vitro and all of these other things? So Maverick, healthy baby boy, made in God's likeness. Congratulations to you. And we're excited. Shots Fired will be relaunching this week at stupeters.com, as well as over on Rumble. Just look up the Stu Peters Network. Deanna Lorraine is a Roar Nation contributor, and we're excited to have you back.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Love this premiere this week.
All right. We'll look forward to it. More of the Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
Have you noticed there's something very wrong with the modern day man?
Are you a beta male?
I don't think so.
Beta!
Sperm counts are cratering.
Maybe it's ma'am.
0% by 2050. But help is on the way. Keys to Life.shop has products which are making men, men again. Banned by the NFL, PGA, and the NCAA. Too manly. Clinically proven to raise IGF-1 levels. Man up. Take off the dress. Visit KeysToLife.shop. Get your manhood back today. Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
5 days ago, a small plane crashed just outside of a General Mills food processing plant in Covington, Georgia, destroying several trucks parked outside. A few days before that, another small plane hit a potato processing facility in Idaho. Huh. Two planes crashing into two food processing plants in the same week. That sounds like a really strange coincidence, if nothing else. But we think it's more than that. Last week, the headquarters of Azure Standard, a major distributor of organic food, burned down. The building was a complete loss. Thanks to the damage, basically all of Azure's liquid products like oils and vinegars and honey are completely out of production. If they can't replace the facility by harvest time, then their fruit supply will dry up as well. How about Salinas, California, where a 225,000 square foot processing facility for Taylor Farms was destroyed in a four-alarm fire? Or what about at the end of March, when a huge fire destroyed an onion storage warehouse in Texas? In Arkansas, there was a major fire at the plant where they manufacture Hot Pockets. There's a list, a map going around on social media. You can see all of these food processing plants that have mysteriously caught fire, and the list seems to be growing almost every day. That all seems pretty weird. But let's consider the even bigger picture here. Thanks to the war in Ukraine, there's going to be a serious shortage of wheat next winter. And everything else is going up in price too, thanks to fertilizer shortages. But hold on, because we were also seeing food shortages and price surges last fall before the war even happened. Just another strange coincidence, I suppose. But I do know that the last thing we need on top of all of this is our processing facilities just randomly, cryptically, mysteriously catching fire. So what do you think? Is this bad luck, or is there something more sinister going on here? Edward Zoll is a Stu Peters Show investigative reporter. He's been looking into this. He has his own theory, and he's here to pontificate, to put it all into perspective. Edward, thank you for coming.
Oh, pleasure to be here, Stu. I certainly don't think this is just a coincidence. Now, there's certain people online that want to look at these fires, these explosions, literal planes flying into facilities that produce our food. That's just happenstance. It's crazy 2020, Stu. That's what we're supposed to expect. No, I don't believe that. Had this been any other industry, had it been the defense industry, for example, we had a bunch of weapons facilities go up in flames, I bet you we'd be having a discussion. We know what discussion they've been having on CNN, probably. They would be blaming this on right-wing militias and these other things. But you know what? This is food. This doesn't have a party. The food doesn't necessarily vote for a different Republican, different Democrat. Everyone has to eat. And the problem we're facing right now is we may have up to 30% of the global grain supply out of circulation due to the war in Ukraine, due to the farmlands being flooded by the Ukrainians to stop the Russian advance earlier in the war. But more than this now, we have general facilities for production of food. Today, there was a sausage factory in England. A sausage factory in England went up in flames. And, you know, Stu, the interesting thing here, I've looked into many of these cases, it's at least 19 different fires and explosions this year. You can go back further. You can go to last year. There's a bunch of very weird facilities that went up in flames, but at least 19 that went up this year. And the one, the sausage factory is an interesting one, Stu, because there was an acceleration of the fire prior to the firefighters even showing up. That's the thing I'm seeing across all these stories, Stu. I'm looking at you as you're seeing on screen here. These aren't natural fires, okay? I'm not a firefighter, not an expert, but I'm looking at this. This isn't simply a fire in a trash can, okay? This is major loss of poultry, major loss of facilities. These are huge fires, huge structurally damaging fires. These plants are going to be out of order for at least 3-4 months, maybe up to a year, okay? But my question is, and I'm seeing this in a lot of the stories, the fires accelerated to the point where it took up most of the building before the firefighters could even respond. What caused that acceleration? I mean, were there fuel stores? There's no information in these stories from the local reporters. There just seems to be the trend that something accelerated the fire, made it worse, causing damage ultimately to our food supply.
What have you seen in the way of fact checks? I'm interested in hearing about that. Is this story being fact checked? Why are we not allowed to talk about these food processing facilities just randomly being set ablaze?
Well, of course, the liberal and demonic elite, they want us to be more focused on the fight for reclaiming of Twitter, you know, that they're being deplatformed, or that the transsexuals that want to teach our kids. These are issues. The groomers, for example, at Disney, certainly we have an eye on that. They want us to be distracted, and they want to keep discrediting it and trying to throw at us. But still, we've looked at this. We've looked at the data that's available. I don't trust everything the government puts out, but let me throw something at those who would be critical. It's good to be critical. The National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA, does an annual survey. And what they do is every time there's a fire in a facility, a school, a home, anywhere, it gets reported through a local fire department. That's the source of the data. So I think we can trust our local firefighters in that regard. And they put it forward to this national organization, and they catalog it. So, you know, we have data actually available right now between the years of 2015, 2019. We don't have for 2020, 21, and 2022, but this is 5 years of data. That's some data we can trust. The average amount of fires, this is across the all fires, I'm talking about everything from a trash can fire to a factory burning down. You do have about 291,298 fires a year. 491,298 fires a year. Now, when I looked at this specifically, they are counting structural fires. Now, this has a specific section for structural fires. Any fire in or on a building or other structure is considered a structure fire, even if the structure itself was not damaged. This including some smaller fires. Specifically in the industrial, utility, defense, and agriculture, because that's where we've seen a lot of this, is in the agriculture. You have an average over a five-year span of 2,953. It's very small, very tiny percentage. Now, averaging for those different industries too, you have an expectation of small fires, about 10 a month. We've had just 10 huge ones this month, okay? Clearly, the numbers are showing there is something wrong. Our eyes are seeing there's something wrong. You and I, Stu, we're not stupid. We're seeing a trend. We're seeing a pattern. God gave us discernment. Something's happening in these facilities, Stu, and I have to look to history. I have to look to history. It's interesting that we've talked about Ukraine. We've talked about the continued war there, what's causing it, what's accelerating that. The arming of Nazis, people that carve swastikas into the chests of little girls. Okay, there is an example out of Ukraine that history taught us about man-made famines, attacks on facilities, using those examples and using that as a cover to kill your political opposition too. And it was the Holodomor massacre in Ukraine between the years of 1932 and 1933. Now, there was a great famine. It was called the Hunger and Extermination. They had a famine, and then Stalin, in control of Ukraine then, used it as an opportunity to take care of his political enemies in a province that fought with the Christians, the Tsar, in the Bolshevik Revolution about a decade before. Anyway, this man-made disaster, because what it came down to is bureaucrats were limiting the farming practices, their ration cards put out, they stripped the land, they stripped the crops available. The result was approximately 3.9 million Ukrainians died, okay? I have to wonder, are we facing another man-made famine? Especially
the answer's
the political
right in front of
hunt
us.
To survive.
Yeah, they're telling us that. Farmers are reporting being paid to sabotage and commit arson and burn down their own crops. So, yes, this is absolutely man-made. History will repeat itself. The Bolshevik Revolution is real, and it's coming back right now. We see everything that we saw in the Bolshevik uprising and the communist overtaking before. We see the civil unrest. We see the burning, the looting, the riots in the streets. We see stolen elections. We see people being planted. We see the lockdowns, the restriction of rights, the restriction of movement, the taketh away of freedoms. The individual liberties are gone. It's a crime to protest against any of it. They're jailing political prisoners. I mean, what part about this did people not understand? Yes, absolutely, these fires are suspicious. I think there's a whole lot going on. And I would encourage people who live in the cities where these are to do a FOIA. Put these people on notice, your local fire department or fire investigators. Put them on notice and send them a Freedom of Information Act request and get the reports and find out what's actually going on with these. It's very alarming that these things are burning down to the ground before the fire department is even allowed to get there, which suggests that there is accelerants being used. And that these things were intentionally lit. So who's subsidizing these people to burn down the Taylor's Farms facility, for example, or any of these others? Somebody's getting paid. It's our job to figure out who. Edward Saul, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
God bless you, Steve.
Wow, what a coincidence. I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. Wow. It's not suspicious or anything at all. I mean, none of this is like a play or a movie script. None of this is intentionally planned or anything. And the timing is just coincidental as well. It's not impeccable. I mean, it's not planned, obviously, that these new uncontrollable variants of this unisolated, mysterious so-called virus are waving through right now just ahead of midterms. Weird. It's going to be dangerous for you to go out and vote. That's really strange as well. Huh. And we're going to have to import all of this extra, more expensive food because of supply and demand issues. It's going to be really expensive. We're going to have to borrow some more money, maybe from China, perhaps, as we watch the dollar continue to be devalued as we just print more and more money and increase the federal debt, justifying, by the way, tax hikes and inflation and hyperinflation, which is coming, and it's going to be Biden's only way out of the $30 trillion and growing federal debt. So who's going to pay for all of that? You. They're going to come for your money. They're going to take it. They're going to steal it. Government theft is inevitable. So if you have 50 grand or more in your IRA or in your 401k or in your savings, guess what? They're going to come and they're going to steal it. It's at imminent risk and you need to learn how you can protect it right now with physical gold and silver. Call this number, write it down, 855-647-1372. You're going to get a free gold IRA kit when you call 855-647-1372. These are my good friends over at GoldCo. They're going to give you up to $15,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account, 15 grand. You got to give them a call. GoldCo has already helped thousands of Americans to protect their retirement against inflation and tax hikes. More is on the way. And then, of course, you have government theft. They're just outright going to steal your money. So do not wait. Write the number down and call them right now. 855-647-1372 for GoldCo.
Love the hard-hitting truth delivered daily by The Stu Peters Show? Consider becoming a Red Voice Media premium member. Extended sit-down interviews, weekly in-depth reports, ad-free. Premium episodes, exclusive content on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Feed the lying globalists. Support real independent journalism. Full access to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, Shots Fired with Deanne Lorraine, Marie Z Uncensored, and the military-focused Richard Leonard Show. All this and more exclusively on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Join today.
Welcome back. Audra Morgan is a mother and a freedom fighter who's been battling back against tyranny since the intentional release of this chimerically engineered man-made Wuhan bioweapon being falsely referred to as a dangerous and contagious virus. Where is it? Can anybody prove that there's a virus? Has this thing been isolated? Where the hell is it? Audra is still being forced to battle. COVID frenzy has thankfully faded away in the vast majority of this country, but in California, make no mistake, it lives on. LA County is requiring masks in airports and on public transit. It's a cult ritual that they'll never let die, no matter how many people it hurts. Audra has refused to comply with these illegal mandates, and for that, she's been targeted for punishment, of course. California police mauled, handcuffed, and detained Audra for not wearing a mask at the state's Social Security building. Two officers forced her, a 90-pound woman, to the ground, cuffed her, and then charged her with failing to conform to signs and instructions. What is that exactly, by the way? Even now in California, there's plans to impose vax mandates all the way down to the age of 6 months. So don't be mistaken, the battle is still going on, and we have to be obsessive about pushing back. Because you can be sure that the left will be obsessive about pushing their evil agenda and using stormtroopers to enforce it. We're happy to have Audra Morgan with us. She joins us now. Audra, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me, Stu.
So we talked off the air. I know your incredible story. You were wheelchair bound for 8 years. You got a new shot at life. You, more than many people, appreciate and value freedom on a whole different level. This isn't it, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I never thought that we would be in a time like this, but it couldn't be more important to stand up and make sure that we're bringing things back over track for all the future generations that come after us. I mean, it's paramount to our existence.
I couldn't agree more. So you walk in the Social Security office and quickly take us through this.
So I walk in and I said, you know, I'm not going to wear a mask.
So you just announced that, or you just walked in?
Sorry, I didn't. Well, I walked in and they said, you need to put on a mask. I said, I'm not going to do that. And I don't have to. And they said, yes, you do. And so they wound up calling the DHS, which are federal police, and three officers show up. And for about, you know, over an hour, we're inside just kind of talking. And you know, I'm trying to plead to them and you know, ask them, if you believe in God, ask him right now what the right thing to do is, you know, because I'm citing federal statutes that are superior to any other law or mandate or edict, whatever it is, their rules. And, you know, these officers, it's as though they know them, but they don't believe that what they're doing is depriving somebody of their civil rights, which is unfortunate. And I kept pleading to them about their oath. You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and that's not what you're doing. You know, even bringing up Article 6 of the Constitution, and they say, oh yeah, we're federal officers, we know that. But yet they don't, because they're still willing to push this agenda. And it all had to do with following the rules, or, you know, the signs, or, you know, I don't want to lose my job, you need to comply. But it was never about safety or anything like that. And even if it was, I mean, my safety is more important. I'm not going to suffocate myself and induce any kind of medical, you know, problems just so that they can keep their job and follow the rules. So, you know, we continued on, and they wound up telling me that I can go outside and do what I need to do. And I said, no, I can do it in here. And, you know, they just keep refusing. But I just kept trying to plead to them on a humanity level, you know, looking in their eye and saying, you know, I'm even doing this for you. I just hope that you understand that you're going to be on the wrong side of history if you continue to do this. So they wound up saying at one point that I needed to leave. And I was in there with a friend who was filming it, luckily, because without that, I mean, we wouldn't have anything to fight for. And so they wound up saying, you need to leave. I said, no. They picked me up, drug me out, and then continued to basically come after me in a forceful manner to drag me to the ground, kick my feet out, and take my ID to give me a ticket. And the sad thing is you were right about what the charge is, but they said on the ticket, conformity to signs and directions. So I don't know if he did that in a way of making sure that this doesn't go anywhere, because it shouldn't. But at the same time, I want my day in court. But anyway, so they cited me after I'm sitting there, you know, handcuffed and detained for 45 minutes. The guy's on the phone trying to figure out what to charge me with. And they're sitting over me kind of just like I'm going to run or something. It's crazy.
So forgive my ignorance, but I mean, is this conformity to signs thing? Is this a federal law that went through the legislative process?
Well, it's 41 CFR 102-74-385. So it is a law, but it doesn't trump a federal statute, which is a felony for them to deprive me of my rights like that, especially to assault me, take me to the ground. Their bullets fell out onto the ground when they were doing that. And, you know, I carry a pocket knife for my own protection. And they said, you can't have a knife. And I thought, well, I mean, if I wanted to under the Second Amendment, I could have the right to bear arms, and that cannot be infringed. I said, look at you guys. You have, they had four magazines, their gun with a magazine in it, a taser, mace, a pocket knife, four sets of handcuffs each. Who's the threat? Obviously not me. I'm not doing anything threatening. And I'm like, you guys are coming after me. I'm half your size, and you're going to tackle me to the ground to take my ID and give me a citation. And then the fact that the way he wrote the citation, it's basically saying I was conforming to signs and directions. It should say nonconformity or failure to conform, like you're saying.
Yeah. And I mean, and I won't get hung up on his error there, but right. Here's what I will say though. These are feds, right? These are federal agents who correct. Are telling you that they're enforcing federal law, but this mask mandate was just struck down. Biden's overreaching communist mask mandate was just struck down by a common sense Trump appointed judge. So I don't really know what it is that they're enforcing. This is an abuse of power is what this is. So if the feds are abusing their power, you obviously have a duty to carry this out and to report this. So where did you go? What did you do? Who did you report this to? What action have you taken?
So I need to go and get do a FOIA request for their body cams, for their information and for the report of what happened. And then I'm going to take them to court because I can personally sue them. I told them that. I said, you're stepping outside your oath, which makes you personally liable at this point. So I'm going to take it to as far as I can because I don't believe
they're going to. So did you call any other cops or any other agencies and report this and ask them for any help in this?
Well, I did the day before. What I did because I had showed up to try and do the same thing. They locked me out of the building and called one of the federal officers. So what I did is I called the sheriff and I said, I have a deprivation of rights and a conspiracy going on, 18 USC 241 and 242. And they said, okay, well, let us call you back. So they did. Two deputies called me back and they said, our sergeant's not going to let us go and arrest a federal officer on federal property. And I said, well, there's other people in there doing the same thing. And this is a conspiracy. You guys took an oath under 18 USC 245. You have the authority and the duty and obligation to fulfill that. And they said, well, we're not going to do that. I even tried to call the sergeant and he refused to call me back. So I wound up calling a U.S. Marshal and he literally laughed me off the phone. And all of these people have taken an oath. So, I mean, you know, what do you do when the people that are supposed to be there to protect you won't even do their job?
So how do you see it? What should people do? So obviously, united noncompliance is the only way that we win.
Yes.
You have to say no to all of these things. Nope, we're not doing it. Nope, no more lockdowns. What is a lockdown anyways? I mean, just even using that term in America is insanity. No more lockdowns, no more mandates, none of that stuff. And then you don't comply. And then they send the brown shirts, the stormtroopers, to come and enforce this Bolshevik mandate, this unconstitutional overreaching stuff. So then you end up in a confrontation with the police and then you end up going to jail and then hopefully start a prison ministry, but whatever. What do you say that people do in this position when they're faced with this abuse of power?
I say you still continue to push back. You know, we need to shatter their constructs that they built around us. And until we all stand up and say, I am not going to comply with this, this is absurd. I mean, even if, you know, it doesn't matter what comes, I believe stepping into the truth and making sure that we are always doing God's will, that he will protect us. So even though you're stepping into the great unknown and it seems scary, doing that is the only way that we get back things the way that it needs to be. But until we do that, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, when the Constitution was put together, it wasn't written out and planned by a group of America First Republicans or MAGA conservatives. This is not a political issue. This doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. These are your inherent, God-given, inalienable rights. And this is an absolute abuse of power. I mean, if you didn't have this video, we're running out short on time here, but I got a couple more questions that I got to get out here. This friend of yours that's videotaping this, obviously a male, I heard the audio when we were watching. Why didn't the cops, I mean, was this guy wearing a mask? Was he in there with you?
Yes, he was. And that's the thing. He was not wearing a mask. So I'm thinking, why are you going after me and not him? I mean, he's equal in size to them as well.
Ah, okay. So we know exactly what that was. These are bullies. They're picking on the 90-pound woman. You're a small-framed gal. And this guy is a man of stature and, you know, he's bigger. They didn't want to pick that fight because the point here wasn't safety and health. The point here was making an example out of you in front of the entire world. But the joke's going to be on them because they're going to be the examples.
Absolutely.
What about electing constitutional sheriffs? I mean, do you think that this is a viable solution to this?
Oh my gosh, yes. So we have a candidate here in San Diego. He's the only one running constitutionally. All the other ones want to take people's guns and usurp their rights. In fact, one of them is a chief prosecutor in taking guns and he lied about it, said he's not. So this guy, I know his name is Jonathan Peck. I know that if he was there at the time, he would not have allowed this to happen. And that's why that's so important too. So, I mean, us standing up is paramount to saving humanity right now because it's a humanity issue. Like you said, it's not left or right. It's about the human race and preserving our lives. So, you know, also electing people and making sure that we, you know, don't just put stuff in the machines, but we vote in a way that we know our vote will count by using the ballot. It's like going back to the basics of the way it used to be. So if we can put these people in that are for the people, by the people, and of the people, then we can make a difference in that way too. But we all have to step up and do something, whether it's running or standing up against this, you know, teaching our children that they don't need to live in a world like this and be, you know, told what to do like that. But I believe that, you know, as children, we were taught that in school, you know, you got to sit down and shut up and listen. So we have to get outside of that and realize that we are God's children. And this is not what he wanted for us.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you for your fight. And please keep us posted on your lawsuits and everything else. We know that you will be victorious in that. God is with you. Audra Morgan, thank you so much for being here. God bless.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought, and paid-for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Newly leaked audio from the days just after January 6th proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Kevin McCarthy betrayed President Donald Trump. McCarthy got on a phone call with Liz Cheney and told her that he was going to try and convince Trump to resign, to leave, to walk away. Right as Democrats were pulling off the steal of the century, Quisling Kevin's objective was to shove Trump out of the picture. National File senior reporter Patrick Howley is here to discuss that. Plus, exclusive breaking news right now, new revelations about Joe Biden's China-backed UPenn think tank. Patrick?
Stu, thank you for having me. Yes, as we know, the Republican establishment, the Quislings, are basically part of the same criminal syndicate as the Democrats. And so when you have leadership like Kevin McCarthy that serves foreign masters and corporate masters and serves those donors and serves the people who really wield the whip in the Republican Party, and they don't just wield the whip in a political sense, but they wield it at all their sex orgies, like Madison Cawthorn blew the lid off of the cocaine orgies, right? Kevin McCarthy didn't like that. What's Kevin McCarthy's purpose? To just go around and cover up the cocaine orgies, okay? Or to try to get people back online if they say something that could possibly be perceived as anti-Semitic, because he goes over to Israel and gets his orders from Naftali Bennett, and he's a total Quisling pushover. So I'm glad that people are waking up to that. Meanwhile, the Republican Party, if they're not going to be an engine to help us, I'll just take it upon myself to help the people, okay? I have the financial records from the University of Pennsylvania. I have all of the records of the money that was flowing in there. I got it exclusively. And this is the first time it's ever been seen. And you know what? Tons of money coming in specifically for China and from China. Specifically, I mean, we're talking international funds. We're talking funds that are there specifically for students from China or to go to the Wharton School, to go to the University of Pennsylvania. They have these like international patrons or whatever. Now, I know for a fact, and I have the records, that this money was not being appropriated transparently. And so when there were concerns about that, the administration freaked out. Now, remember, the Penn Biden Center, which is Joe Biden's personal think tank, is funded by the general funds of the University of Pennsylvania. So what that means is, all this money that comes in from China and all this money that comes in from sale of Pfizer vaccines, because we know that the University of Pennsylvania gets paid directly, as I revealed, milestone payments for more Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine sales and for more Pfizer-BioNTech FDA approvals. So because of this licensing agreement between UPenn and Pfizer-BioNTech, as Pfizer-BioNTech sells more vaccines, gets more FDA approvals from the Biden administration, more money flows in, astronomical amounts of money, into the UPenn general funds, and that can go directly into the Penn Biden Center. That's what funds the Penn Biden Center. And Joe Biden can go back and sit on this big pile of money as soon as his presidency is over. So I have the records proving the money flowing in from China. This is going to be major news as soon as I put it up. And also the massive amounts of money that he's making literally from the sales and the FDA approvals of the vaccine. Is Kevin McCarthy, the Quisling, going to stand with the people, or is he going to be a little Quisling pushover Neville Chamberlain in history and stand with Joe Biden? Because now we know that both him and Sean Hannity were trying to get Trump to surrender during the election overtime. How many kids are getting raped coming up over the southern border because the cartels control the southern part of this country now, and they control the shipping routes as we have a supply chain crisis in those areas. Meanwhile, China is trying to starve us with the supply chain crisis. They have blood on their hands. McCarthy, Hannity, and the rest of the GOP establishment.
Where's the Freedom Caucus in all of this?
We're the Freedom Caucus. The people are the Freedom Caucus, Stu, because this system is breaking down. And if the dollar gets replaced as the world's reserve currency, I mean, these globalists have very little leverage over us anymore. And they can't even force the people to wear their suffocating slave muzzles on airplanes anymore because the people scored a massive victory.
So who is it that's benefiting from this think tank other than Joe Biden? Somebody else is tied to this because he's pooping his pants and he's on his way out.
Of course, it's a revolving door for his administration. In fact, Tony Blinken, the very crooked Secretary of State, was the managing director of this. He was overseeing this when Joe Biden was working there. I have all the financial records. This Joe Biden guy is so, I mean, this is impeachable times 20, times 30. It's just ridiculous.
So Kevin McCarthy has said nothing about this at all whatsoever. Does he know that the goods are there? I mean, he's aware that all of this is going on while he's doing handshake deals with Nancy Pelosi to figuratively take the speaker's gavel. This guy thinks that he's going to be the Speaker of the House.
Well, I'm exclusively revealing this on your show. I'm going to have the article up about it probably by the time that this show, this segment goes up on Rumble on nationalfile.com. And, you know, the amazing thing is, look, I've been covering this Biden family for years now. I was the one who reported that Hunter Biden had an Ashley Madison account, and I geolocated it to Georgetown when he was teaching there. And that's what led to the breakup with his wife, led to this whole whirlwind. And then I had the Ashley Biden diary contents. I published that. In the public interest, showing that Joe did the creepy showers with his daughter when she was a child, which is disgusting, disturbing, traumatized her for life. And now, you know, when you see the massive amount of money that Joe Biden's think tank is making from the vaccine sales and from the FDA approvals of it, and all this money coming in from China, plus you have Jack Maxey, who has been a driving force in getting the Hunter Biden laptop out there, saying that you've got the Mossad, for instance, blackmailing Sleepy Joe, and all of these hostile foreign actors who are blackmailing Sleepy Joe because of the contents of all this Hunter Biden stuff. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden is basically the dictator of Ukraine. The George Soros Hunter Biden regime is presiding over that actor puppet Zelensky over there in Ukraine. So this is just hallucinatory chaos.
The cross-dressing, leather-wearing, high heels dancing, $40 million mansion owning in Florida, by the way, deeply tied to the establishment fossils in this uniparty global cabal, the Clintons, all these people. How closely tied, I wonder, is Zelensky to everybody who was on repeatedly on these Epstein Island flight logs? I wonder, which, by the way, another Mossad operation. Patrick Hawley exclusively reporting here on the Stu Peters Show. Nationalfile.com is where you can find all of the receipts from the UPenn think tank. Biden is being enriched with every single shot that is administered and potentially killing your kids. Unbelievable. Patrick Hawley, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for all your support during these times. They've canceled culture. They've canceled our box stores, our shopping channels. Now they've even tried to debank me. And it's all because they want our voice canceled. Buying today also helps support Stu Peters' show, which is one of the best podcasts, best shows you're ever going to watch, because he speaks out like it is. He tells the news. What a concept. Well, today I'm going to pass the savings on to you. You get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99. And if you order today, I'm going to give you my book free. By the way, my book, this is the American dream. This is what it is. This is what we're all fighting for. This is what we're not going to give up on. We're not going to lose our freedoms. You use promo code STU. You guys, this is the best price in history. because of your great support. Thank you all, and God bless.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them, I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
All right, I want you to go to my social media, particularly Gab or Telegram, where you're going to see flyers. You're going to see me posting them probably once a day between now and the 4th of May, because on the 4th of May, I cannot wait to see you all in Idaho. There are some big things going on in Idaho. Now, I'm going to be out there. Michelle Malkin is going to be out there. You're going to see Wendy Rogers there on stage. And all of us are there, plus a whole lot more other people, are there to support Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan in her gubernatorial campaign to overtake, finally, defeat, unseat, permanently, eternally end the communist reign of Brad Little, the tyrant, this so-called Republican conservative in the state of Idaho, enforcing these overreaching, unconstitutional, illegal, unlawful mask mandates, social distancing, these lockdowns. He didn't stop anybody from imposing these tyrannical vaccine mandates that are killing all kinds of innocent people. Why? Because he's a sellout. Because he's nothing but a sellout globalist establishment fossil, and he's a fake and a phony and a feckless coward and a tyrant, and he needs to go. Period. Janice McGeehan, on the other hand, when Brad Little, the tyrant, left town, she signed executive orders using her gubernatorial authority to undo all of those things. Well, when he came back, he reinstated them. But no worry, we're about to uninstate him again, permanently. Be there in Idaho on May 4th, Meridian, Idaho. That flyer, specific details about when and where to be, is going to be on all of my social media leading up until then. So make sure that you go there. I want to remind you also that your $10 a month, by the way, not $10 a day like you spend on your coffee, but your $10 a month gets you an ad-free experience, investigative deep dive reports. You get the full Stu Peters extended interviews every Saturday. You get, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Tuesday and Thursday, Shots Fired with Deanna Lorraine. We got Maria Z Uncensored coming from Down Under. We've got Scriptures in Wall Street with this guy right here, Carlos Cortez. Also, Crosstalk with Lauren Witzke and Edward Zoll. There's just so much stuff over there for $10 a month. We want to get you as much information as we can while still being funded by you and making good on our promise to never take money from big pharma or special interests or globalist corporations. Carlos Cortez is here for the Money Minute. Your podcast, by the way, you teach people all kinds of things. People are really excited about finding that over on Rumble at the Stu Peters Network. And also tonight, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. You have a webinar every Tuesday and Thursday, which is free for people to come, and you give them such valuable information. What are you talking about tonight?
Yeah, tonight we're going to be talking about a little bit about, you know, the volatility that's going on. Markets are crazy right now, Stu, and people are just losing confidence, not just in the markets, but in America. And so we need to force out the serpent, and really, really, America needs our help. America's on life support. We got this idiotic president. The stock market and the financial economy is bigger than this idiot Biden. So we're going to be talking about that, but mainly is the taxes that are really, really boiling up for our future children that they're going to have to pay. And unfortunately, the baby boomers, when they pass away, there's a massive problem there, the hidden tax. There's a lot of issues going on that people are not talking about. They're focused on market volatility when the issue is bigger than market volatility. But we need a system in place. We need a system in place that can ooze confidence to our investors, our clients. That system is an ABC system. We talk about it on Scriptures and Wall Street. All they have to do is go to the show or Rumble on Stu Peters Network and type in my name, Carlos Cortez, and look for the ABC episode on a podcast. It's going to be a great, great relief for many people that are scared about the market. So tune over there. I'm just excited to be about talking about the America First Retirement Plan tonight at 7 p.m. sharp. We're going to be helping a lot of our patriotic listeners tonight to get a grasp on their retirement.
That's immediately following this program. And no, you don't have to make any commitments. And no, you don't have to sign up for an email list. And no, you don't have to have a reservation or any of this stuff. Just go right now to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. It starts in just 1 minute. Get over there, or 2 minutes from now. Get over there right now, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. There's all kinds of strategies. One of them is the never taxed retirement strategy that's inside of that America First Retirement Plan. There's an entire plan there devised by a independent fiduciary. And why is that important? That's important because, Carlos, you're not one of these heavily advertised big bank familiar name financial advisor firms that you see on every street corner in a metropolitan community. You don't have to follow the guidelines or rules or the dictate or the mandate or the edict of Wall Street and the Biden regime who's sold out to the CCP. You can custom build stuff around an individual person. And if you're going to do that, the smart thing to do is to do business with an independent fiduciary. And obviously, you want to make it a like-minded one. Well, is like-minded like this? Carlos Cortez, I could tell you, who I know personally, follows Jesus, fears only God, is a family man, a husband, and a father, is a patriot, never took the vax, knows about the bioweapon, never forced it on his employees at Cortez Wealth Management. You're a true and true thoroughbred U.S. American patriot. You bleed red, white, and blue. And if that's like-minded for you, then go there right now, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. I appreciate you being here from the very beginning, brother. And I got to tell you, all the emails that I get from people thanking me for sending them to you, they're extremely happy. They're extremely satisfied. And we owe you a lot of gratitude for that. So thank you for treating people the correct way and leading them the right way. We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Of course. So go there right now, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos Cortez, that guy is the real deal. Till tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, maybe dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do it, because you know what? We are the ones that are used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Don't look for any blue check marks out of me. Remember, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do,